have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn to Mark chapter number 6. I want to begin reading in verse 34 this morning. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 34 this morning. We'll read about 10 verses, preach for about 10 minutes. Maybe we'll have a two-hour altar call. That's what we're here for, to worship, right? We come to hear a word and worship and get at the feet of Jesus and let Him move on us. Amen? Boy, I like being moved on, don't you? Boy, I like when that Spirit's, boy, I like it. I thought Brother Chad's going to do a front flip, back flip. I know what he is going to do. But I was okay with whatever he done. Me and Brother Brian Scott was able to witness and talk to him in the back room back there last Sunday morning after service. And he come back Sunday night, son, and he, whew, man, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark chapter number 6. I want to preach you a title this morning, and it's not what I was going to preach until he jumped in the water. And God brought this back to my remembrance. And he said, take this to the people. We've had 8 baptisms in the last month. And going to have 5 this month already. And that's only a move of the Holy Spirit. That God would move in and he'd see fit to sit down amongst his people over here. You know, for God to move, the preacher ain't got to be worthy. The people ain't got to be worthy. They ain't even got to be really wanting him as they think they need him. He just come in there and clear off a spot and do a work. You see, it ain't up to you and I when he sits down. It's up to you and I if we receive what he's wanting to put on us. But it ain't up to you and I when the Holy Ghost blows through this place. When the Spirit of God gets on a person, that heart gets beating, that old jugular vein in the side of their neck gets to pumping, and they think, what in the world's going on? See, it ain't up to you when it gets on you. I'll never forget Brother Billy Rogers. Whew. When he got saved, he told me, he said, preacher, he said, I don't know what's going on. I want to whoop it. I said, son, you can't whoop it. It's the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to fight it. I said, you can't fight it. It's the Holy Ghost. I said, he can put his hands all over you, and you can't put your hands on him. He can get all over you, and you just have to stand there and take it until you finally give in and say, Lord, I surrender. I want to preach this morning on what moves God. What moves God? If you got a copy of God's Word, Mark chapter number 6 and 34, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible said, and Jesus, when he was come out, saw much people and was moved. Here it is. Here's what moved him. And he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples come unto him and said, this is a deserted place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said, no. How many loaves do you got? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, we had 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies up on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed it and broke it and the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish divided them among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the baptisms that we've had. I thank you for the salvations. Lord, our God, I thank you for your people that has gathered here today to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Father, I do know this morning it ain't our bank account. It does not move you. Father, anything like that does not move you. What we drove to church does not move you. What we've wore today to come to this place does not move you. But I see in Scripture that there is some things that'll move a holy God. I'm talking about get a God in heaven. Father God, as great as you are, as great as your Son Jesus is, and Lord God, as great as the Holy Ghost is, there's some things that'll move you this morning. And Father, I pray as the pastor of this church, that we're always found at your feet and having you move on us in a mighty way. Father, I love you and I thank you. Father, I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let all this be about you and nothing about me. We lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Just preach just a few moments on what moves God this morning. Hey, can I say to you that there are some things that will literally move the God of the universe. I'm talking about the one that spanned out the seas. I'm talking about the one that went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee and reached down with that big old hand and scooped out some mountains. I'm talking about the one that parted the Red Sea. I'm talking about a God of heaven this morning. I'm talking about the one that led the Israelites through and everyone that was against them, he swallowed them up. Friends, I'm talking about a God of heaven. Can I get an amen? And you say, what can I do in my life to move God? Hey, what is in my life that'll move that kind of God? What's going on in my life that'll move that kind of God? I want you to look with me in verse 34, and I say to you, number one, helpless people move God. Hey, people that are helpless and don't know what to do and don't know where to go, and they get in the presence of Almighty God and they realize they're helpless, and if God don't show up, that they're in trouble, and they get down on their knees and they start begging God to move. Hey, can I say to you that a helpless people move God? Hey, people that's got it all figured out, that don't move God. Hey, people that's all got it all put together and their box is just right and everything is going hunky-dory. Hey, listen to me this morning. That ain't what moves God. The Bible says here in verse number 34, that helpless people move God. And the Bible said, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having shepherds, and began to teach them of many things. You say helpless people move God. Hey, when God looked upon them people, he was the great shepherd, and he looked on them as sheep not having nobody to lead them. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know where to turn. They didn't know what to do. And you know what God of heaven did? He reached down on them people, and he looked down on them people through his son, Jesus Christ, and he started moving on them people. They was helpless. They done got to that place in their life. I wonder who I'm talking to this morning, that you're in a helpless position. If God don't move in, that you're in trouble. If the God of the universe don't take care of you, you're going to be in major trouble. Hey, this morning I want you to know, the oldest member of this church, 93-year-old, she called me this morning, and I'm telling you that she is in a helpless state, eat up with cancer and don't know what to do. And as I went to her home, and I got there at her home this morning, I got by her bedside, and she was so weary and so worn, and I'm talking about just all over the place. And when I walked in, I said, Miss Avery, are you okay? And she said, sir, son, you know that I've already gave up and I'm not letting hospice do anything with me, and I'm just laying here. It's just me and God, and I'm in a helpless state. And I told her, I said, Miss Avery, praise God that you're in a place in your life that you're helpless. Hey, God can help you there. He can meet your need there. The cancer's done went down the arm, and her arm has done swollen up. 93 years of age, has served God faithfully all the days of her life. And you say, preacher, what can you tell her? Only thing I had to give her is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not walk. Hey, can I get an amen? I told her, I said, listen, it ain't only saving grace, but it's dying grace. When you come to this place in your life, don't you think for a skinny minute that God's getting out? Hey, he's getting closer. And this morning, when we get to that place in our life that we're helpless, God will move in on us. About 9 o'clock, the tears start flowing. She come to herself a little bit, got a little calmness about her, and we read the 23rd Psalm together, and we prayed, and we got done. I kept sitting there, and she said, preacher, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, don't you got somewhere you need to be? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure do. She said, tell me how good the church is. And I started telling her how good the church was. I didn't tell her how bad the preacher was. I didn't tell her how bad the music is. I didn't tell her none of them things. I started telling her, we're going to baptize 3 this morning, in the name of the Father and the Son Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And I seen a 93-year-old woman, Brother Kevin, that laid there helpless, son. She started putting a smile on her face because there's a God in heaven. Amen. And now what do we got to worry about? She's 93-year-old laying there knowing she ain't got very many more breaths left. But what she's got, she's going to serve the Lord. This morning, can I say to you, if you want to move God this morning, get helpless in your life. Get your hands off things that you don't need it on and let God help you. And Jesus, when he was come out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. I see not only helpless people move God. I thank God when I'm helpless, don't you? Man, when I'm helpless, he moves right on in there. When I don't know what to do, he moves in. When I don't know which way to move, he moves. But I thank God that he only moves on helpless people, but he'll move on hungry people. You know what, this morning, you can't feed a man that ain't hungry. I've seen Chad Oliver come to this church many Sundays in a row, Sunday nights, Wednesday, faithful as you can be. And unless the Holy Ghost of heaven moves on him, he couldn't be fed. I seen a little 14-year-old girl last Sunday. Jayla, where you at, Jayla? Jayla? There she is back there. Stand up, hon. She ain't been saved very long, but stand on up, hon. Don't be ashamed. You're a pretty little girl. You ain't got to be ashamed of. Hey, Jayla, you can sit down now. Last Sunday, I was up here shaking hands, and Jayla come to me, and she said, Brother BJ, I don't know who that man is in that white shirt back there, but the Holy Ghost is all over him. You might want to go talk to him. I think he's done went out the building. I shot out that door and couldn't find him. It wasn't but a minute. Brother Brian come in. He said he's in the back here, and he's wanting to know a little bit more about Jesus. You said, Preacher, what was going on in his life? He done got helpless and got hungry. He done fed on the things of this world. He done drunk all the beer you could drink in this world. He done the cares of this world. And every bit of that left him dry. It left him thirsty. It left him hungry. And he needed a touch from Almighty God. Hey, can I say to you this morning, this preacher needs a touch from Almighty God. You need a touch from Almighty God. He said, how will he touch me? He'll touch you when you're helpless. I don't know what to do, God. You're going to have to move in. Okay, I say he'll do it when you're hungry. I'm talking about when you're hungry, he'll do it. Around our house, Ryder don't like to eat a whole lot of stuff. So if it's 6:30 in the morning and he wants an ice cream cone, you know what he gets if daddy's on the job? He gets an ice cream cone. Double scoop. It ain't Bluebell. That costs too much. He don't know the difference right now. Just give him that cheap stuff. But you know what? His mama said he needs to eat yogurt. And his mama said he needs to eat. And start telling me what he needs to eat. And I yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And you make sure, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. When she walks out the door, he says, I want an ice cream cone. I said, you want one scoop or two? He said, Preacher, what do you mean by that? Hey, whatever he'll eat, long as it's going in, it's going to do him good. You may not think you need this message this morning, but it's going to do you good. Hey, you come in here helpless, and you come in here hungry, he will fill you up. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up. This morning, I want to ask somebody, who come in here helpless this morning? Man, you know when you come in, you got something in your life, and if God don't move, you're done, man. You're done. Lady, you're done. Kid, you're done. If God don't move, you're done. And you come in here hungry, and you say, I want the preacher to give me a word. And the Holy Ghost of heaven and the water move while I go and tell them they'll get helpless, and they'll get hungry. I'll feed them. Folks, this morning, can I say to you, I thank God that he knows what we need, when we need it, how we need it, and how he'll give it to us in our life. It said that when Jesus came up, he looked and he was moved with compassion. Them helpless people did not have a shepherd. Them people did not have no shrimp, didn't have no food and nothing to eat on, Brother Hagin. They done got helpless and they done got hungry. When you get hungry, you'll eat if you need some food. And I see something else here, though, in the text. He said they was helpless and they was hungry. Man, I want to ask you this question here. When was the last time you was hungry for God? I'm talking about just hungry. Couldn't wait to get where God was all up in it. Have you ever been there? First thing. I'm talking about, son, you just couldn't wait to get. You knew if you got where he was, he's going to change everything. He is the game changer. He's a game changer. I was talking to Brother Garrett the other day, and we was talking about being a fundamental Baptist. And Brother Garrett said, what does a fundamental Baptist mean? What does that mean? I said, well, we're just fundamental. We go by the book. If you're playing football, you're playing basketball, you're playing baseball, you're fundamental, right? What do you go back to? You go back to the fundamentals. You go back to the basics. You go back to what it is. You go back to the book. You do it the book's way. You go back to that. You get back to that. And I said something else. We're very narrow-minded as Baptists, as fundamental Baptists. We're very narrow-minded. Everybody wants everybody to be narrow-minded in their life but the preacher. Did y'all know that? You go to the doctor and you got a tooth, and he says, I'll tell you what, go home and take ibuprofen. In 3 weeks, we'll pull your tooth or do something with it. Just don't worry about it. You don't want that dentist. You'll find another one. You go to the doctor, you got a big old spot on your side, and he comes up and he looks at you and he says, oh, don't worry about it. You'll be all right. If not, come back in 2 or 3 months. We'll see what happens. You're going to find you another doctor. Folks, you're talking about eternity. You don't need somebody that's open-minded. You need somebody that's narrow-minded on the Word of God that tells you that if you're hungry, God will fill you. And if you're helpless, he'll help every need that is in your life. He says, that narrow preacher, it's that narrow. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And when Jesus come off that boat and he looked around, he said, these people need Jesus. This morning, can I say to you, you don't need your pastor. You need Jesus. You don't need your deacons in this church. You need Jesus. All we can do is help, but we can't meet the greatest need in your life, and that is that walk with Christ Jesus. Let me show you this in the text this morning as we move on. I promise you, I've done over my 10 minutes. Oh, my goodness. He said, Brother John, give me an amen. He was helpless people, hungry people. Let me show you this during the text. I see not only was they helpless and they're hungry, but they finally got humble. Finally got humble. God has a way to humble people, don't he? Have you ever got a piece of a humble pie? You ever said, my kid won't do that, and all of a sudden, oh. You ever said, I won't do that, and next thing you know, you done got you a piece of it in your mouth, and what you gonna do with it now? Huh? What do you do with it? You have to chew it and eat it. God has a way of humbling me, and he has a way of humbling you. But when he come up and he said, you're helpless, and you're hungry, but I can't feed you or help you unless you humble yourself. And in the world we live in, nobody likes to humble themselves. Nobody likes to humble themselves, especially men. It's a sign of weakness, Brother Jared. Sign of weakness. Nobody wants to humble themselves. Building a ramp the other day, and I told Brother Jared, I said, I don't forget nothing, Brother Jared. I told Brother Jared I messed up. I said, I'm sorry. He said, don't say that, preacher. He's showing weakness. So I waited for my opportunity. And they got down there holding the board. I said, get that board up. Let's go. That ain't how we want to be, is it? Let me show you this in the text. Here's what he said. Man, this right here is good. Look at verse 39 of your text. Humble. Humble. You will not eat if you're not humble. You will not get the help you need if you're not humble. And to be humble is when you sit down and he stands up. When your life is set down and he stands up in it. Let me show you the humbleness in verse number 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down. What did Jesus do? He said, if I'm going to feed you and I'm going to help you, you're going to have to humble yourself and sit down. You're going to have to realize I'm the only hope you got. This morning, can I say to you, our hope is not in the President of the United States. Our hope is in Christ Jesus and Christ alone. He's my only hope. He's my only help. That's the only thing I got right now is Jesus Christ. He is my hope. He's my help. He's what helps me through this life. Let me show you this. And he commanded them to all sit down by companies upon the green grass. Now, they was in a place that was not very good. But I noticed he didn't set them down in old rocky terrain. And he didn't set them down in a bad place. He set them down in green grass. Turn with me to Psalm chapter number 23. Let me show you this. He set them down in green grass. Psalm chapter number 23. I see you got to be humble. You got to be hungry. And you got to be helpless for God to move in and do his work in your life. Look at me in Psalm 23. He said he set them down in green grass. Green grass. Good grass. Look what he says in Psalm 23 and verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sounded to me like he knows what to do when he wants to move on you. I don't know about you, but it sure does me good. To know that the God of heaven, the God of the universe, when I get to the place in my life where I'm helpless, he sure does know how to move. When I'm hungry, he knows how to feed me. He knows how to humble me. And you said, preacher, what do I need to do? This morning he'll use you. I see not only when they're humble, but he uses his people to feed people. You see, Jesus could have fed them himself. And he did multiply. But it said that he took the bread and blessed it and he broke it and he gave it. The only way you're going to be a blessing to somebody in your life is when you're the brokest. You say, what? Through some of my most broken things that's happened in my life is how I've been able to help the next person. I've never been able to share my mountaintop experiences to help somebody. Brother Austin, I never have. I've always had to share my valleys. He said, preacher, why do I go through valleys? To help somebody else. Why do I go through these things? To help somebody else. He said this, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed it, and he broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. Who gave it to him? His disciples did. He'll use you and me. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. And they did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. There's an importance about that number. 5,000 men is everybody's accounted. Other accounts in the Bible, you got men, women, children, you got other, but everybody's accounted. When God moves on somebody and he moves with compassion, said he moved on compassion because it was helpless. They were hungry. They were humble. They were willing to humble down. And his people was able to help. And he didn't leave near one of them out. This morning, as your pastor, I just want you to know this. There's nobody in this room he's left out. If you walked in here this morning and said, "Preacher, man, I feel so helpless." Y'all ever feel that way? When I went to a woman's house this morning, I'm telling you, Miss Avery, I felt that way going up the road. She called and she said, "I just want to call and tell you goodbye." She said, "It ain't going to be long now." Tears flowing. Man. You're talking about helpless. I got going up the road and a preacher friend of mine from Tennessee texted me and said, "It's out of the blue, never hear from him." Said, "The word is enough." Had my Bible laying right there beside me. I said, "Lord, what you want me to give her when I get there?" I know we got doc people, nursing fields here. Y'all know how to care for people. I ain't been trained to care for them. I just got the Holy Ghost that's got to lead me. You know what I'm saying? They teach you in seminary school, don't get too close to the bed. Don't do this, don't do that. But if I'm standing back here away from you, you think I'm scared of you. I want to get right there in amongst of it, son. You hear me? I said, "Lord, you got to give me something." And he said, "I want you to go tell her this. That I've been good to her all the days of her life. All the days of her life." I took this same Bible and went by her bed there that she lays. Helpless, hungry, humbled, can't move. She's there. And was able to take his word, and this is what I read to her. If you're here this morning, I want you to get this and listen to this. When I get done reading a verse, I want you to say this with me. All the days of my life. Okay? Y'all got that? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All the days of my life. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. All the days of my life. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All the days of my life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me all the days of my life. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever all the days of my life." Can you say that this morning? Can you say that he's your shepherd this morning? Can you say, "Preacher, there's a time that he moved in on me. I was helpless. Man, I was so hungry. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I needed a touch from heaven. And he moved in on me. And now I can say whatever comes to my life, I can say this. He's been good to me all the days of my life." If you're lost this morning, you can't say that. Listen to me. If you're lost this morning, you've never called on the name of the Lord. You've never asked him to come into your life and save you. You cannot say that. You cannot say that. Because you don't know how good God is. You've not had that weight lifted off of you. You've not had that burden. You've not had that. Brother Chad called me the other day and said, "Man, I've got a peace like never before." I was waiting to hear that. Man, when God, the God of the universe moves inside, man, it makes a difference. I tell this story everywhere I go. The little boy got home from Sunday school, going home. And he asked his daddy. He said, "Daddy, we learned in Sunday school this morning, God's this big. Is he this big?" And he said, "Yeah, God's that big." He said, "But I got a question." I said, "Yeah." He said, "The Sunday school teacher said God can live in my heart." He said, "Yes, he can live in your heart." He said, "Well, Daddy, if God is this big and he can live in my heart, shouldn't he be sticking out somewhere?" I'm going to ask you this morning a question. Is God sticking out in your life? If he ain't, why not come on up this altar this morning? Brother JD's in here this morning. He'll come up here and he'll pray with you. Men all across this front this morning. Women across this front this morning. We'll pray with you. If you've never been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, why not come this morning? If you have been saved and you're at a place you say, preacher, man, I'm just tired. You know Christians, they get tired. They get beat down. They get tired. But you know what? God will move on you the same way he did when you got saved. He'll come up beside you with that big old arm and that big old hand. He'll pat you on the back. He'll hold you up and love on you like you ain't never seen. What about it this morning? Maybe you need a decision made this morning. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to come for church membership. Maybe you need to come for baptism. I don't know what your need is. But I know one thing. We got a God in heaven to meet any need that's in your life. Anything you got going on, he can meet it this morning. If you'll come to this altar and humble yourself, he'll help you. Father, we love you and we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sweet... Father, I want to thank you for holding my throat up. Lord, you know what I've battled with the last few days. And Lord, that's a miracle. Yesterday morning, I couldn't even audible a word. Not even a word out of my mouth. And Lord, on the day that I need to talk, I need to talk when you want me to talk. And I need to shut up when you want me to shut up, Father. And Lord, I thank you this morning. You allowed my mouth to be opened up and my tongue loosened. And Lord, this morning, whoever that message is for, you touch them, you help them, you heal them, you move on their life. And whatever burden they got, you help them with it this morning, Father. And Lord God, this morning, I just want to thank you for being the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and the Holy Ghost, my comforter. Lord, I claim that in Jesus' name. Bless this time of invitation. Let that Holy Ghost pull them, Father. In Jesus' holy, precious name, all of God's people say it. I ask you to stand.